attract people from all over the world, and they get to be seen as on the front lines of fighting for white civilization. So it's an extremely dangerous thing to look at, and while we should be able to analyze it while also condemning the war crimes that Russia is committing against Ukraine. It should not be difficult to hold both things in focus at the same time.
Well, Lev Galenkin, this is a discussion we have to continue at another point. I thank you so much for being with us, Ukrainian-American journalist who reports extensively on the Ukraine crisis, Russia, and the far right, author of A Backpack, A Bear, and Eight Crates of Vodka, a memoir of Soviet Ukraine. We will link to your New York Times op-ed, The Ukraine of My Childhood is Being Erased. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Currently accepting applications for Human Resources Manager. Check out democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Amin Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tommy Warrenoff, Camille Baker. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KABU is looking for a next membership director. KABU's members are the heart and soul of our community, and we need a dedicated person to honor and foster this relationship. Are you the right person to steward and manage KABU's membership department, or do you know someone who is? Then go to kboo.fm to learn more about the essential functions of the membership director and the qualifications we are looking for. To apply, please email your resume and cover letter to hiring@kboo.org by Sunday, March 6th at midnight. You can also apply by mailing your resume and cover letter to KABU Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. Members make KABU happen.
Morning, you are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is the wickedly smart and awesome and genius Althea Billings. How are you, Althea?
Lots of hype this morning. Thank you. We're grooving this morning. We're ready to go.
I was thinking last night, I'm like, oh, you know, I was like right before bed, I'm like, I should like write down a couple more, but but I forgot. But I, as I was saying it, I'm like, all right, I was supposed to do this. So that's what that pause was. But it's great to see you.
It's great to see you too.
There you go.
I mean, whatever adjectives you come up with, I'm always highly flattered and grateful.
Good. I can't see. I hope that it's making you blush.
Yeah, the mask is in fact covering it. This is The Gap. Folks who have listened to the show, maybe haven't listened to the show, what we like to do here. First half of our show, Tammy and I will talk. Sometimes we'll do interviews. Today we're doing a good old-fashioned news roundup because things have been going crazy in this city. And then in the second half, we talk to you, our community, with our community questions. So stick around 8:30, call in. We'd love to hear from you. And before we jump into the news roundup, I want to remind folks we are in a special programming campaign here at KABU. All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 1. We've been doing some really special programming, really cool stuff throughout February, and that's continuing through March. So we have an International Women's Month series starting Friday, starting next week after International Women's Day. We'll have a dance party marathon from Friday, March 11th into the next day. And the Bluegrass Marathon is coming up on Saturday, March 19th. So very fun stuff that folks, volunteers at KABU and the staff have been planning for you. If you want to support great programming like this on KABU, kabu.fm/give, or you can text KABU to 44321.
That was fantastic.
Thank you. Did I do a good job?
You did a very good job.
All right.
I'm on it. I'm pulling out my pocketbook right now, pulling the checks out of the pocketbook.
Get the calendar out. When are these special programmings?
Yeah, and there's all the info on kboo.fm/thrills.
Thrills.
Yeah, I love that. We're all thrilled up with the song. All thrills, no frills. get into
it. The song really did
it
for me this morning. I feel like I got a jolt of energy.
Yeah, it like, also it's the sun, you know, or like it yeah, not being dark outside
that
coupled
does help.
With the song.
I feel like every year I am amazed at the changing of the seasons and daylight savings and getting up earlier. And it's like, oh, it's not pitch black in the kitchen when I need to go make coffee. Very cool.
I like that. I can go on and on about the like
seasons,
the
and such.
Seasons and yeah, what they do to us or to me personally. And I really thought I knew better, but no, I don't. Like instantly.
I'm
the
sure
days
we've
when
been,
it's
we
warmer.
Said the all of the same stuff this time last year.
Oh yeah, just defrosting instantly. I'm a whole different person.
I'm gonna write it down. Maybe I'll write it down this year, so next year I can look back and remember. Like, hey, remember to be excited about springtime.
And you ready for this pivot?
Yeah, please.
As the seasons repeat themselves, so does the nonsense at City Hall.
Ooh, chills. Yeah. Mm. Chills on that one. Which story do you want to start with?
Your dealer's choice.
All right. Well, they're both about Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler. Well, he's involved in both of them. I don't know how much we want to centralize on him, per se.
It's City Hall definitely is.
Yeah,
a lot of thrills going on there.
Yeah, let's start with the better of the two news, which is that. Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler fired a Portland police officer, Brian Hunziker, who was actually the former union president, who was at fault for actually this, I believe a year ago today, leaking false information that City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty was a suspect in a hit and run to like right-wing press, and that like blew up, and found that it was because of retaliation. In Wheeler's write-up about it, he says like, I know you, Hunziker, don't agree that it was retaliation, but it was. You said that it was because of comments that Commissioner Hardesty made about police.
Tonight's big story sounded like a big announcement.
2020 protests.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I felt the first part of the music felt like a real underlining of what I was trying to say. It's like, hey, who's talking over there?
That's yes. Continue on, please.
And it was actually so right because of Portland's weird city government structure. Wheeler is also the police commissioner. And that firing overrode the advice of the police chief, Chuck Lavelle, who had suggested 12 weeks of unpaid leave for Hunziker for leaking false information.
That's so dangerous. Like, why would you suspect? Do you not think that the person is capable of doing it again if they've proven to be able to use their power to create fake police report? Isn't that in itself a crime?
I mean, yeah. Doing research for this and everything, like, you know, there's evidence in the past in Portland that police officers, even after being fired, can get their jobs back. So I don't know that it's like the whole end of the story, and I'm sure it'll be easy enough for him to find a job at a sheriff's office
for
or
sure, yeah,
you know, a couple towns over.
Unfortunately.
But yeah, especially, I mean, I think it would be a very important moment to do that. Like, as if you're Ted Wheeler, like, I think you have to kind of take that opportunity, because this wasn't just some like random cop. This is like the president of their union, like, big deal, has influence, did this thing, and it impacted, you know, your colleague who you need to continue to have a working relationship with in City Hall. But yeah, we were following this a year ago. We were pretty. I mean, it was really upsetting because, you know, the person who made the allegation did so, like, off of racial profiling. Like, Joanne Hardesty didn't have an operational car at the time.
Right, weren't even that part of town.
A million ways that it was not her. And yet it still got leaked to, like, right-wing blogs that started coming after her and calling her a criminal and stuff.
And so with that, remember what my mantra for this year, if you remember what it was.
Prescient.
I hope the listeners remember, because I said this is going to be the year where all the lawsuits are coming. Someone is getting sued. So, Thea, why don't you tell us what's happening in the developments of the story, and And was I right?
You were right. You were so right. And here I was just like, oh, da, 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 da. And you're like, somebody's getting sued. And you were right. Hardesty has a $5 million lawsuit with the Portland Police Association, which is the union. And then I believe $1 million lawsuits against Hunziker and another officer, Kerry Ottoman, who was found to be involved in the leak.
There's
a lawsuit, all right.
Someone is getting sued. Keep that energy all year. And also, I remember just kind of looking at the original when the story broke a year ago. Another player that's in this is the Coalition to Save Portland. Interesting. They keep popping up. Just keep popping up everywhere, huh?
It's curious.
It's cute. Hmm.
Interesting.
Well, this is this isn't even, nothing was restored. Hopefully the lawsuit would give some sort of sense of like restoration
for damages.
The people. Yeah, but the fact that this is, I mean, these, you know, we've talked about it before, these things happen, and while they could be one-offs, they can inspire a culture of doing this type of stuff. And Portland has had a culture of the police bureau just harassing black people in Portland for a very, very, very long time. This is an elected official. Like, this is you. Just the fact that you would think that to just suspend someone after they did something like this is enough, a restorative or justice in any way, is laughable, you know? So at least, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. So at least, the mayor got it right this time. But does not. I can't even give him credit just because the second story is just like, ugh,
yeah, we'll get
when
there.
I thought we were making progress, but so this is an interesting development.
Yeah, and I think I think whenever we're talking about police accountability, literally which cops are being investigated, all of that kind of stuff, like it's a complicated picture. So I think that this is a much more like, I don't know, cut and dry case if you're the mayor than all of the cases of, you know, officers abusing protesters and stuff. Like Eric Kammerer, Officer 67, got off this week, no charges, which is also upsetting and in my personal view wrong. But yeah, broken clock is right twice a day, and yeah, bare minimum that, I mean, should not have a role of influence, should not have this kind of control. And like, you know, in the ideal world, when you have someone, like if you're the police officer or whatever, you know, other safety agency we might dream up, responding to somebody who is in a hit and run and they make some like random allegation about like a person of high profile, it's like, wow, that's really serious. And like, was weird when you said it to me. Like, I'm not just gonna go, well, you shouldn't have leaked confidential information anyway, but like, don't go spreading that around. Like, at least do a little bit of due diligence, because it was incredibly obvious that it was not her. And we were at the time, and probably still now, like the rush to publish it, especially at the Oregonian, when it was just like a random allegation.
Right.
That does so much more damage than like clarify a situation, you know?
For sure. And like you're saying, imagine it. Okay, so this is like a high profile person in town. What about if it wasn't? You know, and what does that mean for the little guy, or for the newly you know, people who had to go through the incarceration system and get out, and now like this is like the type of harassment I imagine, you know, that they can face. It's like, what, I was on a different side of town. What are you talking about? What are you trying to pin this on me for? And if you're not of a certain caliber, really no one is going to care. No one is going to advocate for you. So this is very layered as to why this is problematic and why the original, was it 12-week suspension?
That was, so the Willamette Week was following this, because like, you know, it happened this time last year and then they opened an investigation.
Where are they now?
And if you picked up a Willamette Week in the past year, there's always a column of like, with like a timer, and they're like, how many weeks since Ryan Hunziker leaked all this information and we still don't know anything? How long is this? So the police investigation, I guess, took a year to figure out that he leaked this info. Maybe it wasn't their top priority. I don't know. Who's to say? But they're going to have a new column in Willamette Week now that he got canned.
Right.
We'll see if he makes it back on the force, which is like, that's such a crummy like frame. Like, well, let's see what sort of like, you know, loophole backdoor way to get back into, you know, Portland police uniform. Anyway, we can move on to our next story.
We can move on. Yeah,
on that happy note.
On a happy note, we'll move on to the pretty distressing note. I like how you started with the more positive, or, you know, this first. And I always like to get the bad news first and then the good news. So okay. I'm like, oh, well, okay, at least that.
Yeah, I mean, look, balance in all things. Mm-hmm. Got rid of a cop that was, you know, doing illegal stuff. But then also, Wheeler issued a third emergency order on the homelessness crisis in the city that does some pretty interesting stuff. So I'm of two minds about it, but let me just explain. So it centralizes different city agencies that deal with unhoused folks to report into one place, this new quote-unquote hub, they call it. It's called the Street Services Coordination Center. Which basically entails, and in the press conference he like showed this really complicated little flowchart of where everything is.
That's how they try to get you. They try to do all these charts and stuff. Like, we don't care. Just talk to us. Come on now. I get some of us are visual learners.
He called it, I believe, he's like, yeah, this looks like a wiring map on the back of a refrigerator, which to me as a young person, I don't understand. I've never seen the back of a refrigerator, but I'll take your word for it. That maybe that was a problem for the older folks that have, maybe that's a relevant thing to them. I don't know. Just wanted to dunk on him. That's all. Anyway, but basically, like, Portland city government is very weirdly structured. And so, say, like, you have park rangers that interact with unhoused folks. You have the fire department that sometimes will respond to, like, you know, people making a campfire on the side of the road or whatever. And then you also have like the city office that coordinates all of the sweeps, and you have like the transit department, and you have all these things, and they're all separate from each other. Like, they're not all housed under one umbrella. So they're like reporting different things. And so there's not like a coordinated response from the city, right? Or, you know, assurance that somebody has been offered all of the resources. This is his pitch, right? This is like, so the idea is that for folks who, like, say you're a park ranger, most of the time you report within the Parks Bureau, but under this new model, anything to do with unhoused folks, you would report to the Street Services Coordination Center, which, might I add, is planted firmly under Ted Wheeler's control. So the work is all very decentralized, all of like the oversight, the data, whatever like coordination, it's all siloed, right? Mm-hmm. So like the Parks Department has maybe one thing, one strategy, or one, you know, MO of how they want to handle, how they want to deal with unhoused
like their
folks.
Vision of how
right
to
their
treat
vision
the
and then there's like the sweeps people that have an entirely different agenda, right? So the idea is put them all under one roof, so at least there can be some kind of coordination. Things that I would point out about that.
All right, go for it.
Yeah, if you'll allow me. It does take some oversight of this. It takes a lot of oversight, I should say, on the crisis away from other city commissioners. Because, you know, if you're in charge of the Parks Bureau, suddenly, you know, whatever you're directing your park rangers to do is related to, you know, folks camping in parks, near parks, is now under the mayor's control. There's also reason to not really have a whole lot of trust in this
that
mayor.
Stressed me out. It was crunching the numbers. I got stressed.
Yeah, and part of what, you know, he's at the press conference, he's like announcing his vision and everything, and he's like, yeah, and we want to have an accurate daily count of like how many shelter beds are available and where they are, and I'm asking for 50K more funding so that we can offer folks a free ride to a shelter, which is all well and good. That sounds great, but whenever I hear shelter beds mentioned in the state of Oregon, immediately what comes to mind is this court case that set this precedent that says you can't sweep people who are, you know, camped on city property if there aren't any shelter beds available in the city.
This is from Eugene, I think.
Yeah, it came out of Eugene. And, I mean, Portland is already not in compliance with that. It has, like, broken that many times. But what it smells like to me, if I may, is that, you know, they want to be able to sweep people because they can say, like, oh, you
know,
there's 10 beds out at the Wapato jail. You know, good luck getting there, but you got to go, you know. I think the Wapato jail is called something else now, but that was
what the
shelter was built out of. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of... your points are heard and taken. Did you have more? Did I cut you off?
No, I mean, yeah, you should talk. I'm getting too worked up.
No, please do. I can definitely understand that... I can definitely understand, like, when there is people are in the same room, like, you know, occupying the physical realm together, having conversations, figuring out, like, common goal, like, figuring out our common interests and the goals and kind of setting a vision that's shared together that can progress somewhere, right? Because if you siloed off, that's not good. And this is a human rights crisis. So
yeah.
I think that it that's good, right, to have that idea of having everyone together and centralized in order to know exactly what's going on, like, you know, what services are needed in this particular region or something. But yeah, it's never like that with government, right? It's never like just a good idea. It's never about just wanting to help the people. And it's not even, I wish I was wrong, but the proven track record shows that's like,
yeah,
no, this is, you don't care about the people, like, you do not care. And these are the chain of events, you know, that we kind of talked about it a couple of weeks ago on the show, of like, you, like, this has been happening for a very long time. And now when things are like really hitting a crescendo, really, and like you have folks that are visibly like camping on the highway and stuff and dying in these impact, like in these high impact corridors.
Yeah.
And you don't care that people are dying. You just don't want the people that, you know, you just want, don't want like the, I don't know, like the homeowners to see, you know, like you just out of sight, out of mind. Like you just want to sweep this humanitarian crisis that you created under, or into a jail, or under the bed, under the rug, so that the rest of Portland doesn't see it, so that the Coalition for Whatever Portland doesn't see it, so that this organization,
Portland Business
that,
Alliance, people
exactly,
for Portland,
exactly, and it's like this isn't garbage. This is humans. Like this is the only thing. Like, and especially after post pandemic, we're not even post pandemic, but considering how many people lost their jobs during the pandemic, like, do you not see that? And then still use it. And the thing is, they use these talking points of being like, people were very affected post-pandemic and the problem has just become bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, what are you going to do about it? You know? I don't know. It's like we're saying the same things, but meaning different, you know, it's like we say the same words, but they have different meanings. And the people that are most impacted are dying on the streets. Dying, like, you know, weather conditions, car collisions, you know, just like mental, physical distress, you know, dying just from violence, you know, like. So this is, you know, it sounds good, but then when you kind of dig into it and know the background to it, you know, kind of like you said, mentioning the Eugene case. Of, oh, well, now you'll have full, you know, like the data on how many beds are available and where they are available. And for some reason, your track record isn't, it's given, I'll sweep you. It's not giving, I'll give you shelter, you know?
Yeah, totally. Right. And I mean, that's kind of where I get a little bit torn, right? Because the city government structure, such as it is, charter commission, the commission style of government, is really broken and is really bad and leads to a lot of problems in our city. And fortunately, we will be seeing some change, hopefully be seeing some of those changes on the November ballot. Check out the Charter Commission. They are making recommendations and there's public comment going on next week about what folks want
to
see.
You got to talk to them. Get them on the show.
Yeah, I would love to do that. So there's the part of it that's like, in terms of having an operational city government or any kind of coordinated response to a particular issue, the idea of having at least a centralized idea or like this
a common
is the,
vision,
a common know? Vision, a general strategy that multiple, you know, agencies are going to work with. I'm interested in that. But I think, like you're saying, it's just coming from Wheeler, coming from his, you know, top advisor, Sam Adams, it just doesn't really, it rings hollow, you know, and that this is all announced with, without, you know, backing from community groups that do the work of supporting unhoused
there
folks
is.
And trying to connect them to, mm-hmm. to resources, and that, you know, that also that he's announcing all of these emergency things not backed by other commissioners, like they weren't at the press conference. I think Mingus Maps, I think, made a comment that he liked it and was supportive of it. And part of, can I also just say, I wish I would have clipped this for the show. Maybe I can put a link to it on our webpage. But there's a part of it where
I have it pulled up, and I was thinking you might would want
yeah
to do it.
This isn't that clip, but I'll okay. mention it, and then we should go to that clip because that one's just delicious. But like Wheeler's being asked, right, like, you know, what's up, why, what is going on, why are you, what is the motivation for doing this, and he's sort of like complaining about how people like blame him for stuff even though he's the mayor and it's not like all his fault. It's like, hang on, like, what do you mean it isn't all your fault? Like, that doesn't really like ring true.
I'm just the mayor. This
I'm just the mayor. Like,
what
people think it's my job, even though it's not. It's like, okay, granted. But it's like, I think that's one of those things. If you're the mayor of a city, you kind of take that on the chin and you try to do the right thing, I would think, and not try to argue with the people about who they should be mad at. But at the same time, you've seized all of this authority. Mm. Like, you're now, you know, taking this away from other commissioners, which, good or bad, that is something that you're doing. And also going to be wielding much more power in relationship to the city-county partnership, the Joint Office of Homeless Services. Anyway, just, you've clutched all this power, and you're like, people are mad.
I'm over this whole thing of people are mad at me for, like, are people mad at you, or are your constituents telling you what they want, you know?
Yeah.
And if they're mad at you, do you listen to your constituents, or do you just get them more mad? Like,
yeah.
This whole
let's figure out who his constituents are. Is it the folks who are saying, like, housing first? Like, let's actually, like, that is the thing that could fix this problem right now, is the empty luxury condos that keep getting developed
empty,
all over the city?
Darkness, nothing.
Or is it that Sam Adams is back in a position of power?
Don't get me started about it. I cannot with
you know,
Sam
was
Adams.
Was deputy mayor to Vera Katz when a lot of the development started, was mayor himself, left town, came back, is now, you know,
now given this idea of let's have three massive buildings that will house
outdoor camps.
Oh,
so they weren't even
buildings.
No.
Oh my God.
So real
Wheelervilles, like actual.
Yeah, that he proposed in a memo that got leaked that Wheeler also defended for. So, I mean, even just that happened recently, it's like, okay, maybe it's a good idea to like centralize this authority, but one of your other ideas recently was creating mass encampments for like 1,000 people that's patrolled by the National Guard. Like, whoa. I don't know that the...
NPCU social worker students.
Yeah. But it's just, it doesn't, I don't know that, like, it's hard to figure out from a values perspective, from an integrity perspective, that both of those ideas can come from the same place and that we can treat this one with trust. I guess that's my point.
Yes, after we heard what you said 2 weeks ago, this is what you're proposing now. I didn't forget.
Yeah.
And that's still ringing in my ears. And
what if we spent all the money on bus tickets? And
just Jesus, right?
Sent them to Idaho.
Been there.
Is that what we want?
That was also a solution at a certain point.
Yeah.
And it makes me, you were saying this, right, of like who are the constituents? And all constituents aren't equal, and that's we're seeing this very much, you know, we're seeing that
Sam Adams puts a lot of stock in his constituents in, and he's not even elected. He puts a lot of stock in the constituents of the Portland Business Association.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it that way.
Direct line.
Do we want to play one of those clips?
Sure.
This is just flavor. We're going to move on in a second, but I had a nice time listening to Kelly Azar asked some questions of the mayor. I didn't include the mayor's responses, but I just thought the questions were pretty good.
I have one that's just Kelly Azar and one that's Kelly Azar roasting the mayor.
Do Kelly Azar roast the mayor first.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, Mayor. It's Kelly Azar from K2.
Oh, there, sorry.
My question goes to you first and foremost. There's been a lot of questions and questioning of your efficacy as mayor. A lot of people are wondering if, you know, you've feel like you've been an effective mayor. You say at the forefront of your wants as a mayor is to help this homelessness. You've been in office now for years and we have seen it only get worse. And not to mention homelessness isn't our only issue. Our gun violence has gotten worse as well. So do you feel that you've been effective in these areas that you claim are so important to you?
Tough question, but I appreciate your directness. I don't think there's many amongst us who could argue that we are individually or as families or as a community or as a nation better off today than we were 5 years ago. We've been through a lot. We have experienced record gun violence on our streets, record traffic deaths, as exhibited by the Vision Zero study that helped lead to the first executive directive that I passed to move.
That's the end of that one.
Yeah, that's the end of that one. And then, so he gives this kind of, to editorialize, in my opinion, waffling kind of answer about like, well, it's not all my fault and everything's gotten worse, so it's not my fault kind of thing. And then she follows up with this other clip. If you want to play that one.
If you'll allow me a follow-up.
Sure.
You know, you're listing off a number of things that, you know, you've been putting into play. And you say now, especially with these three orders, that this is the part where we start seeing that change. Last week, you also made a mention when it comes to gun violence that you're not coming out speaking about it fast enough. Yet yesterday, we saw ourselves with another gun violence situation at Dawson Park, nearly a year to the day of the last one, and we didn't hear from you. Are you speaking out of both sides of your mouth, or what's your take on that?
I was actually at Dawson Park yesterday. I was there with the pastor. I was there with the police.
That was on Wednesday.
Speaking out of both sides.
Are you speaking out of both sides of your mouth? What's going on?
No. Ooh, that was.
Shout out Kelly from K2. That's right.
Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, straight to the point questions.
We didn't even talk on the show. I know that a lot of other folks on KBOO did because it was, you know, something that was close to home about the shooting, you know, that the multiple shootings that have been happening.
That was radio silence.
I couldn't believe it.
And the PPB, I mean, to say it's a flub is so charitable. They spread misinformation yet again that got picked up by national right-wing media outlets. So they called the terrorist, the mass shooter, identified him as a quote-unquote homeowner, which, mind you, he rents with a roommate. Not that that's worse, but it evokes a certain thing that he's a homeowner and he's protecting his property.
Right,
but
as those protected,
he's a guy that came out of an apartment building and shot at a bunch of people directing traffic, unarmed, mind you, like preparing for a protest, like... What? Just
and
the PPB were so. They got their panties in a twist because people did not want to talk to them after this shooting.
It was independent journalists that were like online journalists that were that broke it, that were like, no, here's this person's name. They're, what are you talking about? This is a situation. Radio silence, but yeah, there is a bunch of stuff happening at the park this weekend for, you know, as a memorial. So yeah, well, darn, that was good. Talking out of both sides of your mouth. Can we say
have you
that?
Been effective as a mayor? Because everything's gotten worse the past 5 years.
I love that. Like, yes, keep that energy.
Dang.
Keep that energy all 2020.
That's a great question. And he's just a little flustered. He's like, oh, tough,
Yeah, the pause.
Tough but fair. I like it.
The pause. Oh, it was good.
All right. We can go into our second half here in a minute. We'll hit a little midway song and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland.
Thank you for tuning in. This is The Gap on KBOO Community Radio. And we are diving into part two of the program here when we open up the phone lines for you, the listener, to join in on this great combo that we're about to have that is all about, drum roll please, we want to hear what is the worst advice you've ever gotten. That's true. Worst advice you've ever gotten. Call 503-231-8187. Again, 503-231-8187. I think this could go many of which ways. But this is 8:30 in the morning on public radio, so you know, be
keeping it clean.
Keep that in mind. Yeah. Worst advice you've ever gotten, go.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. 503-231-8187. I had trouble figuring out what my worst advice ever is, because you know, you kind of keep in your brain the good ones or the ones that are like kind of true, and then I just throw away the worst advice. But I was thinking about how that maybe there's like a wrinkle in it, which is something that could be good advice, but like I don't think it applies to me and I don't want to follow it.
Oh, like you don't listen.
Yeah. Can I share?
You know, we should do a good advice that you didn't follow in, yeah,
good advice that you just didn't take. Isn't it ironic?
I was like, what, am I quoting something?
Yeah, you started.
It's just good.
Did you know we listened to that in my I want to say ninth grade English class. They're like, let's discuss the idea of irony by listening to Alanis Morissette's Ironic. And we're like, we think we get it, but I don't know that this is it. And it's like, no, this song that it's not ironic is ironic. You know, there's layers. But yeah, if you want to call in, worst advice ever, 503-231-8187. You know, good advice you just didn't take. That could also be good. Getting a ride when the bus is already late. I'm having trouble coming up with the rest of the
lyrics. I'll play the song for you a little later.
All right.
We do have Tawasi on the phone lines with us. How are you doing?
Difficult times, so the best I can in difficult times. And the best I can with getting really bad advice. So the bad advice I got recently was when somebody that was in a mental health crisis needed help, somebody suggested I call the Portland Police Bureau, and I had to tell them that is bad advice because you don't even understand how bad that is. But you guys dealt with that earlier in the show. The other bad advice that I got that is just like this steady bad advice that people constantly give me, and you probably have gotten it too, is pull yourself up by your bootstraps, because we're social animals. If you're like any kind of anthropologist at all, or just a person who exists in this world, you recognize you didn't make your boots and you probably didn't make your pants, and there's a high likelihood that the house that you're living in, you didn't make it. Whatever food you ate, you probably didn't grow it. There's no amount of yourself that's going to accomplish everything that you need to do. So that pull yourself by your bootstraps advice is horrible. Reach out to the people around you who love you. They will uplift you. Together we got this.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Those are both, yeah, great highlights. Calling the Portland police. I didn't even think of that as advice. It is really bad.
Yeah, you made save someone's life. So yeah, that's pretty great that you did that. And that you educated a person that, no, you should not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, appreciate that. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm not a lawyer, so that's not legal advice, but just from the standpoint of someone who understands federal oversight and being, our police department is controlled by the federal government to a certain extent because they suck so bad. And when you suck in a bad way, and the federal government has to step in, then you know you're horrible at your job, because you don't want those guys trying to tell you what's right and wrong. As an indigenous person, believe me, you should not, again, not as a lawyer, as an indigenous person, you should not call the police. It's just not a good idea. They do not help indigenous people, especially. So anyway, thanks for everything you do for the community. I love you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, thank you. Good to highlight. And yeah, the bar has to be pretty low in terms of integrity, in terms of performance, if, you know, the federal government is saying, you guys are, this isn't right. You're doing it wrong. That DOJ settlement got started in 2014, got renewed after the extreme brutality of the 2020 protests. And we're still under it now because the Portland police disproportionately hurt and kill people in mental health crisis.
Well, maybe that could be the next clock, the countdown that the...
Yeah, maybe Willamette Week should pick that one up, of how much longer on this DOJ settlement.
Right. And we do have another caller on the line. I did not catch your name. How are you and what's your name?
Hi, my name's Camilo. I've called in.
Camilo. How's it going?
Well, like the last caller said, this is a time of incredible distress, and because of that, I kind of hesitate to offer my advice. I mean, my experience. But the bad advice that I got has been hurting me over the past 10 years, and I have no way out of the consequences. So, you know, although this is only a problem that comes with privilege, it still hurts. So many of you may have gone on a vacation and you get an offer for a free tour or a free meal or something like that, but you have to listen to someone trying to sell you a timeshare in a vacation club.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't do it. Don't go for it, because you find yourself in a mess of tangles that's going to not have any resolution, but just will continue costing you money that there's no way of getting out of paying. I mean, I put down some money when I went on a vacation with a partner of mine over 10 years ago in Hawaii, and you know, circumstances change, and I have been able to make use of that because I no longer have that partner. So nevertheless, you're signed a contract that you have to keep paying in maintenance fees. So because of that, there are all these sham companies that come up to offer you a way out of it, and all they do is just take your money.
Mm.
So I went to the original corporation I got this from. It's a Shell Vacation Club that's run by Wyndham. And they said, you don't have to be paying all this money to get out of your contract. You can do it with us for free. And I had paid out money to these other corporations that I had to send them a letter saying, no, I'm not going to use you because the system doesn't allow me to have any other third-party counsel. So I tried to go through the system, and then they let me know that because you've had these other third-party assistants, you're no longer eligible to get out of your contract. So I'm paying $66 a month for a service I don't use, and if I don't continue paying it, you know, I'll be called into collection.
Wow.
That is a twisted web.
Oh, God.
That really sucks. Wow.
It's awful.
Well,
just don't go for it. That's all I can say.
Thanks.
We appreciate you calling, and maybe somebody out there has been considering it and can learn from your story.
Yes, you may have saved someone else.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, appreciate and that. I hope you get it figured out for whatever that's
Thank
worth.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Bye.
If other folks want to call in, we're talking about the worst advice you've gotten. 503-231-8187.
See, I'm glad that we did that because I knew that we will learn cautionary tales.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get from this. Because
the worst advice illuminates what's good advice.
Oh, okay. I wasn't... Okay.
Because, well, if it's bad, then the opposite is maybe truer, is maybe more worth talking through. If you want to call in, you got bad advice, you got mediocre advice, I feel like that's just talking. 503-231-8187 is that number. We'd love to get to chat with you here.
And we do have another caller on the line. Sue, are you with us?
I'm with you. Yes, worst advice I ever got was in high school during the height of the Vietnam War when my photography teacher told me I should join the military.
Oh, photography teacher? Come on, what happened to arts and education?
Anyway, yeah, I was just—he told this hippy dippy girl that she should go join the military. Of course, I laughed it off. But
did you do
anyway.
It?
Yeah, okay, good.
Of course not.
Laughed it off.
Anyway, that's the worst advice I ever got. But like I said, I didn't follow it. I went on. I did other things that probably weren't the best, but I'm retired now, so I don't care.
There you go. Thanks for calling, Sue. Appreciate it.
Bye.
If other folks want to call, 503-231-8187. We're talking about the worst advice that you've gotten, and we've gotten some great responses already.
Oh, and we have some more responses. Jessica, are you there with us?
Yeah, hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
All is well. Learning a lot. So what is the worst advice you've ever gotten?
This is regarding back when we got married. When my husband and I were getting married, this was kind of a time in our lives when lots of people that we knew were getting married, and we were kind of taking advice from different friends about, what to do and not to do regarding the wedding. And some friends of ours kind of got caught up with inviting too many people to their wedding. And when you get married, the catering, they charge per person. Mm. So I think they ended up with an extra 25 to 50 people. So their one big piece of advice to us was, really come up with a guest list and then don't waver from that. Don't just be we could also just invite these 15 more people. So we were really strict about our guest list, and we wouldn't let a lot of people who we knew bring a date. Particularly, if we weren't really close friends with them. And we had a really good friend that my husband had grown up with. Little did we know, he was about to propose to his girlfriend, right after our wedding. But we didn't really know her yet. And so we wouldn't let her come. And I still, to this day, I feel so bad about it. Jeannie and Romel, we love you.
Well, you live and you learn, Jessica. I appreciate that. Hopefully, if people are hearing, they won't make the same mistake.
Well, it's hard to know what to do if you're inviting too many or too little, but we definitely invited too little.
Thank you so much for sharing, Jessica. You have a great rest
Thanks,
of the day.
Guys. Have a good one.
See you.
All right, bye.
Is that why vowel renewals were invented?
These are the questions. These are the real questions. That made me think of catering can be very expensive for weddings. A friend of mine, when they got married, they just got Panda Express.
Okay.
They just bring big deep dish, not deep dish, you know what I'm trying to say, containers of Panda Express.
Buffet
food.
Style.
Buffet style. There Thank you. Go. That's the word. And, it's great. They have vegetarian options, meat, so veggies. Rice?
Yeah, and I mean that is good advice. I mean, people definitely culturally in the U.S. there's a lot of hype around weddings, and
it's a whole industry.
It's a whole industry, and it's not. I don't know. It's not really rooted in what works for people on a budget, you could say, or like,
right, yeah,
or because, and especially with like Pinterest and Instagram and all this FOMO and stuff, it's like, it's so easy to think that bigger and more expensive and more glamorous is better. And you know, everything that is wedding related is more expensive than if you were just catering a regular party. So
that's how they get
you. Just have a big party. Just, I'm all for that. Pandemic permitting.
If anyone is interested in marrying Althea, this is your dream wedding. It's just a big party. Now we know.
We're going to be thrifty, I'll tell you that.
I was at the Dollar Tree, has some. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. We're not. You don't need to spend money on mason jars, you know. give me a month. I'll go to the thrift store and we'll figure it out.
Well, that was great. I'm learning a lot from people's cautionary tales.
Yeah.
Worst advice you've ever gotten here on KBOO, 503-231-8187.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
We're swimming in it right now.
Yeah.
I want to hear more of what bad advice people have gotten. Or it could be like, you know, it was okay advice, but it landed on you at the wrong time, I think. Or that you, you know, bad advice that you ignored, bad advice that you took and later came to regret.
It's a good advice that you just wouldn't take.
Yeah, we got to stop. I'm going to look up the lyrics just because I feel like if I look it up, then I won't.
They won't keep saying.
Then I won't pull it. And I won't start just pulling random Alanis Morissettes out of my facts out of my brain, not the actual person, but I just need to stop. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm trying to think of any. I've gotten so. Oh, right. I didn't. I was going to bring the letter. This, I got a letter full of bad advices from this girl, unsolicited. Like, I wasn't friends with her. I didn't want to be her friend. You know, like, it was very odd that she felt the need to write me this letter of advice telling me how I should conform to the systems and that if I want an easy life, I need to learn how to like listen to authority better and
that's tough.
And it's like, and I was just like, she really meant that. Yeah, like she, like, you don't just sit down, you don't just sit down and write a person who's like, doesn't want to be your friend, like a 2-page letter telling them like how much they need to do better and like how much they need to change everything about themselves
it
in order to
the
do
soul,
better.
Kinda.
And, the soul of white supremacy, or something.
Hey.
And I still have this letter, and I'm just like, I'm on the right path. Like,
yeah.
I'm so stoked that I didn't, because people have been telling me that my whole life, you know, and not like in a bad, like with assimilation, you know, you have to look a certain way, you have to talk a certain way, you have to have your hair pressed out a certain way, and it's just like, me just existing, it just pisses people off sometimes. So why is your hair like, we're not in Africa. Well, you are today. What am I going to tell you? You know? So a lot of bad advice. And I wonder if you know, because we heard a couple of different types of advices. And some of them were rude at like, Camilo, that sucks. That really sucks. And that's like, you know, some of them are just bad, you know, like bad-hearted, you know, no good faith. And some of them are like trying to help out. And like with Jessica, where your friend is trying to help you out and telling you, don't invite too many people to your wedding.
Yeah.
Because they had a bad experience. Their friend had a bad experience. So it goes to show, you know, advice, even if it is coming from a quote unquote good place, not one size fits all.
Yeah.
It's not, you know.
You know what is ironic? Sorry, I am looking at the lyrics now. I forgot that it's like rain on your wedding day. It's somebody call in about a bus ride or something. It's a free ride when you've already paid. It's the good advice that you just didn't take. And who would have thought? It figures. Mm. All right, I'm closing the tab. We're not going to talk about it.
You know, Althea, life has such a funny way.
It really does, you know. We do have a few minutes left if other folks want to call in about the worst advice that they've gotten. 503-231-8187 is that number. We would love to hear from you.
Pull yourself by your bootstrap.
Yeah, and
my
some
boots
of them
don't
are
have straps.
But, well, not anymore. Hello, elastic. and some, you know, some of these pieces of bad advice that we're hearing from folks are just, you know, rooted in societal expectations that don't serve people well, you know. And you can take the advice from folks who want to uphold those things, but it doesn't mean that it's good advice or that it'll work for you. Like Tammy was saying, it's not one size fits all.
And we have Jerry on the line with us. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
All is well. What's the worst advice you've ever gotten?
When I was 16, my boyfriend at the time told me I should sneak out and go meet him at the park. And so I did. I went out. We had like a mother-in-law's garage where, you know, the front of your garage is turned into a little mini apartment. And there was a front door to our house. And then the other door was the door that went out of that mother-in-law's apartment. And so that's the door I went out. So I left, did my thing, hung out with him. It was somewhere around 1 or 2 in the morning because I made sure to leave when nobody would be awake. And I came sneaking back in that door. I made sure not to lock it. And as soon as I walked in the door, my mom was sitting in a recliner directly in the entryway, rocking in her chair, looking at me.
Oof. That classic and, movie scene where you turn a click on the light. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was, she moved the chair. It was in the door was going into a little kitchen. So she moved the recliner directly in front of the door just enough so I could open it so that there'd be no way I could get out of it. And I just remember the look on her face and how sad and disappointed she looked. Mm-hmm. And that really, really got me. Because she didn't then get mad at me. She told me why she was disappointed, but she focused on how scared she was that I was out there and not knowing what happened to me or what could happen to me at 1 o'clock in the morning and how that just terrified her. And I'll just never forget how I felt when I saw that face.
Did you do it again after that?
I did, but I did it differently, I guess.
You didn't get caught?
No, I didn't get caught, but I was probably safer.
Okay, right. Okay, yeah. You tell somebody where you're going. Don't gotta tell everybody, tell somebody where you're going. That is the good advice that we can take out of this situation.
Right, and there was no cell phones or anything, so right. She literally just... And I think I was probably gone maybe an hour and a half. And I don't know how long it was that she, when she realized I was gone and then sat there waiting for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you didn't get caught doing it again. But yeah, I feel you. That face of disappointment, it can really, you know, hurt the heart, you know.
Cuts you mm-hmm. deep.
Cuts you deep, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Ooh, sneaking out. I'd be terrified. What? Mom would, I would not be alive right now.
Mm.
But yeah, I can imagine that. Did you ever sneak out growing up?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't also like sneaking out, you know. I grew up with cell phones. You really want to know where I am? I'll probably pick up the phone, you know. Also, you know, me at that point in time, not much of a night owl.
Mm.
Would prefer to do things during the day. So that was sort of my MO at that time. I still sort of have the sneaking instinct, I will say. Just sometimes you want to be left alone and you want to do things without telling anybody where you're going. And look, if you're going far, tell somebody. If it's me and my business, I'm just going somewhere. Like, you don't need to know. I will be back.
Leave Althea alone.
No, that's not the message here. Anyway, thank you, everybody, who called in. This was an enlightening segment. I had a lot of fun and, you know, learned a lot. Lots of food for thought. And I want to make one last plug for some of the cool special programming coming up later this month. This is our All Thrills, No Frills. Giving it right to you, our special programming drive. Coming up next Friday, we have the start of our Women's Month series at 6 p.m. And then right after that, we go into a dance party marathon going into Saturday. And then on Saturday the 19th, which is like 2 weeks from now, is the Bluegrass Marathon. Folks love the Bluegrass Marathon, so get excited for all of that. And if you like to support cool programming, like such as the kind that we have here on this lovely radio station, kbu.fm/give, or you can text kbu 244321. Any last thoughts, Tammy?
You know, just be safe, be kind to one another, be gentle with yourself, and then you'll see how it will pour out into the world.
And also, hey, sometimes you give advice, people don't take it. Sometimes you give advice that's more about you than it's about them. Maybe think about that before you start spewing advice over everybody.
Yes.
People will ask for what they need.
Yes, Gilly, no one cares about your stupid 2-page letter.
Yeah, Gilly.
Are we ready for... I have to listen to Alanis Morissette now. You just got it stuck in my head.
Well, this has been The Gap. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. And we will be back next week. A little bit of... Isn't it ironic?
Hit it.
You won the lottery and died the next day. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's like rain.
Listening to
KBOO Portland. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Program Advisory Committee meets quarterly on the second Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Today on Wings, a prominent Afghani journalist tells why and